Okay, Kuf Chavches, Halacha Kuf Mem Hey. Okay, one more time. Page Kuf Chavches, Halacha Kuf Mem Hey, the sugi of anger. Kas. Kas Bechei Kisilim Yonuach. Anger lies, it rests, it is the property, it is the possession of a fool. A person who's a foolish person, he, unfortunately, is in possession of this very, very bad mida. Kas ra me'oid. Okay, first he quotes the pasuk in Koheles, now he elaborates, kas is very, very evil. Ra me'oid. V'alkein tzarech lehitzrachek mimenu ad kotzeho acharon. A person should distance himself from any mashahu of anger. V'ilamek lodem la'atzma. A person has to train himself, kol shah v'shah shlo yichos klol. It's a lifelong battle. It's like maintaining your weight. Okay, you have to train it. It's a technique. It's a tool. It's a person has to train himself his entire life. It's a constant struggle to control your anger. V'afilu al davar sheroi lechois alav. Even regarding things that it's worthy, there are things in life that are worthy to get angry about. And yet he says here a chiddush. He says the chiddush here that even those things that it's worthy to get angry about, don't get angry. That's incredible. That is a controversial statement, I believe, because there are definitely people that will argue that when it's worthy to get angry, get angry. There's no question about it. I told you many times, a lot of things that it says in Sefer Chassidim are very controversial. There are other Gedolei Yisrael that strongly disagree with this Piskei Halacha and with this Hashkafa. There's no question about it. Over and over you come across things that clearly you can find in other holy books that say otherwise. And here's, I think, another example. Here he writes here that when it comes to Afilu Al Davar Sheroi Lechois Alav, it's a chiddush. Saying that it's worthy to get angry, this person is not bikuris. This person is spreading up bikuris in this world. He's promoting. I was just involved with someone indirectly, but there's someone who is in a certain field, and there are a lot of people in this field, and there is a new approach, and this fellow really believes that this new approach is apikorsis. It's mamish. The derech is very, very harmful from all of his experience, and he's angry, and he went out to do something about it. And he's angry. And he's kas. He has kas. That's a holy kas. Is it kedai to have a holy kas? Well, I think many people will say, yeah, it's good to have.
That's the background of
Kanoim Pogonbo.
You have to have no agenda.
No personal agenda.
He's talking. You're angry for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because you have an axe to grind with this person.
Exactly. So it's a very big chiddush. He writes over here that you should never get angry, even al davar sheroi lichos alav. You have to react in a responsible way, but not to have any element of anger. Yeah.
Breaking the luchot and the Moshe Rabbeinu and by Iksov Moshe al pekudei.
So he's asking a very good question. When Moshe broke the luchot, was that an act of kas? Or was that a technique? Was that a pedagogical technique to shock therapy for the Klal Yisrael?
Nobody was there to see that he's breaking.
They were there, just the opposite. It says in the pasuk that he shattered the luchos le'einehem in front of their eyes. He broke the luchos in front of Klal Yisrael. It says beferish in the pasuk. Or the chumash. It says they openly shattered the luchos in the presence of the Jewish people. It was shock therapy. Okay, so you ask me a very good question. Moshe Rabbeinu did get angry. So there are times when Hashem held him accountable for his anger. Sometimes Hashem did not hold him accountable for his anger. So what does that mean? He's saying over here a statement which is very controversial. Next, let's say a person has to show his family kas. Okay, he has children and he has to show them who's the boss. They have to teach them not to do averos. And he needs to show oy ala tzibur, or if he has to show the tzibur kas, a rabbi is very upset. There's too much talking during davening, and he has to show he means business. Im hu parnos, if he's a leader, yareb if neim shu koyes, he should just make believe. make believe itia datum yusheves alav beina levinatzma ke adam shahu mari ponim shalkas and believe in a case. Make believe you're angry.
Show anger.
Show anger, but don't feel the anger. Ki akas. Let me first finish. You have to everything in its right time. Ki akas mevi lichlal taos. When a person gets angry, it leads to a toss. A person gets angry. This is real kas. It will result in a person making major mistakes in that. Why does one lead to another? Obviously, it shows that when a person is in a state of kas, he's not in control of his mind. Just like when a person is intoxicated. When a person is intoxicated, has too much to drink, he's not in control. There are forces. What?
He loses it.
He loses it. There are forces in his being, in his mind, that take over, that are not being done consciously. Likewise, when a person is in a state of anger, there are elements in his mind that take over the controls, and he is not making decisions, conscious decisions.
Irrational
decisions. V'yomru chachamim, kol ha-koyes, im chacham hu, chachmosoy mistakeles mimenu. U'balei kas, people who are angry and do not know how to suppress their kas, chayehem einam chayim. They're not in control. They're not at the driver's wheel. They're not living their lives. Someone else is controlling their lives. Their mind is not their own. It says these people die koidim zamanam. What does that mean? Why should that be so? What? Whatever this means, that is some spiritual thing. I don't know what this means. V'cheinu oimer ki lavil yaharokas. A fool is killed by anger. Lefichach. Not to have any sensitivity to someone that makes him angry. So how do you do this? Beats me. You have to go to anger management classes. Anger management classes, and sometimes they'll prescribe medication, and sometimes who knows what. This is a billion dollar business. Anger management.
This story about the emotions.
What story?
One of the Talmidim used to have an ink.
Inkwell. Spilled all the ink on the Gemara. Right. And what did he say? I vaguely remember the story.
Doesn't it look beautiful now with the new color?
The new color. He did not get angry. It was a beautiful shas. He had a beautiful shas. And the Talmud spilled ink all over his beautiful Gemara. And he accepted it. He accepted it. Anger, it's an incredible superhuman control. How do you control your anger?
Like
Hill.
They tried to deliberately provoke him, and he wouldn't get angry at it.
Okay, it's beyond me, Rabbi Yisrael, that I all can tell you. Now go to Eschanan. Go to Parshas for Eschanan. Yeah. Okay, now go to Parshas Ve'eschanan, or Parshas Ekev, and see what it says there. Parshas Ve'eschanan, the Ekev. This is Kisisa, but it says it again. It describes the story again in more detail of Parshas Ekev. Ve'eschanan? Chumash Devarim.
It is a reference.
It says it also.
Yeah, it's a main reference.
But there it says even better. There it says even better. Okay, Adkan, next. You're getting me angry.
I want to test you.
You want to test me? Ragzon. Ragzon, a person who is a... What is Ragzon? Ragzon is not Kas. Ragzon is Roiges. Roiges is even worse. Is this steam? What is the difference between Kas and Roiges?
Is that
Roiges? Roiges is where steam comes out. Kas is just it's internal. It's internal. You from the outside you can't really tell the person is angry. His actions may indicate that he's angry, but you can't tell from a picture. Roiges, you can see the steam coming out of his nose.
Rage,
okay. Road rage. Okay.
What is Ras? Rap?
Roiges.
Ras, what is Ras? W-R-A-T-H.
W?
Rap.
Wrath. Yeah. Wrath. It's also, I don't know. I don't know the nuances, difference, the different words. Okay.
I'm going to say something which might be a little bit strange, but I really think it's true. Like, there was a particular couple that got divorced, and I remember the former spouse saying, you know, we never yelled and screamed at each other, we always controlled, and I think that was very warm. You know, very, very big.
Held it to loud steam?
Yes. Yeah, you have to know how to do it, yeah. But just to be coyish each time,
to suppress it is not helping either.
Because then it will just explode.
Look, I told you, you leave this to the experts. You're right. You got to go to everyone is. We all know. We all know everyone is different.
Yeah.
You cannot generalize in regard to these matters. Emotion, anger, love. There are no two people in the world that are the same. Today, the fact is, today look out in society. There are so many books, and there are so many experts in anger management. And even medications. I mean, people have high blood pressure only because just their temperament is their mole kas. So it's diet. It's your environment. It's your spouse. It's your family. It's work. There are so many variables, and the mind is so complex and so delicate. Amok miyim tsa'enu. Obviously, this is something that you have to leave for the experts. Yes. But there's one goal is to destroy, to eliminate kas. Kas, we know from Chazal, tells us a person is in a state of kas. He is not in control. It is no different than being intoxicated. Just like one is intoxicated, he's not in control. He's a danger to society. Likewise, if you are in a state, and to yourself as well, you're danger to yourself and to society. A person that has not put any external chemicals into his body, but is in an emotional state of kas, is likewise a danger to himself. It says he'll die. He can die from kas. He'll die from kas, and he's a danger to society. And how to manage kas? You got to leave that to the experts. Okay, there are rabbinic experts in this matter. Doesn't always work their techniques. And there are shrinks. There are all different types of medical experts, and their techniques also don't always work. Has to obviously be a balance, a customized approach for every single person.
In Parshat Hanan it says, "Va'asita marav bein Hashem lekan liachiso." Afilu Hashem is going to have chaos.
Oh, so very good. Very good. You asked a very good question. But it's a very important question. We have a principle of Heve Domel Zekeli the Anveyu. This is my God, the Anveyu, and I will Heve Doime Loi. Imitate Hashem. The goal of man is to model his mind in the image of Hashem. Man is, in fact, the Tselem Elokim. If repeatedly, through Tanakh, we find that Hashem gets angry. We say in Kriya Shema, if Hashem gets angry, so that means we also should get angry in the right times, in certain situations.
Not even in the situations.
So the question is, he's asking,
also,
so how, what?
But also, one of the midos is, Erech Apayim, slow to
Slow to anger, but there is anger. There is a time of the choro af Hashem bochem, and we have a principle: ze keli ve anveyu hevei doime eloi. So, what do we learn from that? There are times when it's appropriate to get angry. This is all part of the principle of ze keli ve anveyu. If we witness people worshiping idols, extreme things, conducting themselves in a way that is heretical, and that is connected, kol ha'tara kula, l'chayra, we should get angry. So how then can the Sefer Chassidim write that a person should control his anger, there should not have any anger, even in a situation, v'afilu v'shalo yich'ois kilol, v'afilu al-davar sh'roi l'chayis olof. How do we understand that? You just asked me a question. I asked it before, you just put it in your ears, expanding. I don't know the answer. I told you. What the Sefer Chassidim writes at times is a bit controversial. And it has to be balanced with other opinions, other Amori Chazal opinions. He's taking an approach that even though in Nochanami, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, we have a principle of Hashem Dimeloi, it doesn't apply to us. for whatever reason. You can't deny what he says. He's saying that this particular inyan is so dangerous that we should just forget about it. Don't try to imitate Hashem in this manner in our lifetime, in our existence.
And even two times destroying the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem put his anger.
That's right. Not on us. So we don't know what I don't know what this means. It's a very good question. Let's leave it to Tzarech in. But this is his approach. A person should obliterate anger even for things that it's right to get angry about. Just forget about it. It's not a perfect world. You're going to strive for perfection. You're going to be very, very frustrated. Do the best you can, and this something don't even deal with. Ragzon. There's an expression, all you're left with is your anger. In other words, you accomplish nothing. When a person goes into a rage, what are you left with? The bills. You're not left with any kind of... once in a while, I shouldn't tell you, I signed up to Instagram. I was once working, it was about, I think not even that so long ago, and in marketing, part-time for someone, and I was talking to a marketer, and he says, why don't you try an Instagram ad campaign for this thing to be perfect? So I said, what is Instagram? I've heard about it, but I never, I don't have an account. What? He says, you don't know what Instagram is? I said, no, I really don't. I heard, everyone talks. But you have to, it might be very helpful in this particular field when you're working for this campaign. This is really where it would be very effective. Go make an account and you'll see what it's all about. So I signed up, I made an account. I joined like these 10 Jewish groups, all these things. And it's really addictive. It's very addictive. And things that I get, some of the things I look at is road rage. Jewish stories of videos on the road when someone cuts off someone and they get into a fight. And you want to know the taich of Ragzanusa? I can show you what Ragzanusa is. Illustration of Ragzanusa. At the end of the day, you watch these two people fight. Someone cuts them off on a highway, whatever, and they get into a fight in a road rage. You manage to see what Chazal mean. You see what it means firsthand. Ragzon le'ola b'yaday ela ragzonusay. You got nothing left. When the day is over, all you have left, you're left with your anger. You accomplish absolutely nothing with your anger. V'goreim lo'hitzim yipiv dvarim shleika ho'igen. You say words. Okay, dvarim shaloik hagen, things that are not proper, afklabi mildly, even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vazivas hakas mivyasal lichlis b'derech hanava, a person who abandons kas, mivyasal lichlis b'derech hanava, you become humbled, say l'ma mihil azakim, someone here mentioned this, who mentioned it? Michal, you mentioned this? Who mentioned l'azakim?
I want to say no.
Mihil azakim, shalo hoye kmo adam anam mi'olam. Look at that. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? How could he say this? How could the Sefer Chassidim say Shlohaya Kamohu Adam Anav Me'olam? It says in the pasuk, Ve'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol HaAdam Asher Al Pnei HaAdama. So how can the Sefer Chassidim ignore a beferish pasuk and write such a thing? Tzarech in Gadol Shlohaya Kamohu Anav. What?
For himself, not for HaKadosh Baruch.
You want to do two times of Anava. There's an Anova Klape HaKadosh Baruch. It's a very deep idea.
Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you wouldn't have known that he's the greatest person who ever lived, he couldn't have been Moshe Rabbeinu. A person on that level has to know that nobody is on his level whatsoever. That doesn't mean he's not an Anova. But he understands in the scheme of things what that really means. He's still a human being, and he's just a speck on the earth. But he knows he's Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, so and Anova, there are different types of Anova. There's Anova Klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is Anova Klape your friends, your chaverim. There's a famous story where a person is davening Yom Kippur. I don't know the version of these stories. He's davening and he's saying, "Ribbono shel Olam, I've been garnished the whole davening." He's crying, and then it comes to the Kriyas HaTorah, and they don't give him shlishi. And he goes berserk. He walks out in the storm. Chutzpah, they don't give me shlishi. I understand the whole Chazaras HaShas, You cry, the garnished. And now you don't get schlissi. World War III breaks out. A contradiction. So what does he say? There's a lot of truth to this. Kineged Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm a garnished. But kineged you here, who pays the bills here? I pay the bills here. I'm not a garnished here. Have respect for me over here in this shul. And I think there's truth to that. It's not a contradiction. A person can be, I appreciate kineged Hashem Baruch Hu. And then you have a situation where you come into an environment, I'm a nothing here. I'm a nothing. What am I over here? People over here, everyone over here is a tzaddik. Everyone over here is moiser nefesh. I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing. Kineged the people over here. But to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have a shtickle gaiva. I've done what I'm supposed to do. You gave me a mission in the. You gave me a mission here in this world. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So I don't feel the humility, the yirah shemaim kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I do feel in this environment, I see people here that I can relate to. Ribbono Shel Olam, you can't relate to a degree. Spiritual, kula ruchni. It's hard to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have the humility that I really should have. But when it comes to my fellow man, I've all been with you in different situations, and you have done things I never would have done. I'm humbled by being in this community, by being these people. So you definitely do see there are different types of humility. Humility connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, humility connected to him. Is a safer chassidim coming to intimate that Moshe Rabbeinu and Hillel were both the humblest people in the world, a different humility. Moshe Rabbeinu was humble, kineged, Ribbono Shel Olam. The ish Moshe, onov me'od, mikol ha'adam, asher p'nei adama, but not necessarily relative to his fellow man. He was, wait. The right time. When it comes to his fellow man, Moshe Rabbeinu maybe felt that he had a right, I'm the leader. Hillel Kineged, his fellow man. Hillel Kineged, his fellow man, had it. He wasn't necessarily the leader of the Gantz Klal Yisrael. He didn't bring the Torah down for Klal Yisrael. So his Anova was Anova Kineged, his Chaverim. So maybe that's what the Sefer Chasidim over here, it's not necessarily a contradiction to go ignore. Can't be he's ignoring a pasuk in the Torah. Okay, he doesn't do that, Sefer Chasidim. You have to say, like Ramayevsky is trying to suggest there are different types of anava. The law ma'atil ma'amil ha'zogin, shlohoye kamayim b'adam n'abilim, v'anvisanusa goram, his humility caused lehachnis gimel geirim tachas kanfei ashrim. What gimel? I never heard this before. Gimel. We have gimel geirim. There was one ger. What was the ma'is? The ma'is was two different stories. It could be I didn't pay attention to the Gemara. There are three. How many stories are there in the Gemara where it was Megala? A person comes and says to him, I want to learn Torah on one foot. Amen. On one foot. So he told him, we are after.
He was alluding to earlier about how they tried to provoke him and he wouldn't be provoked.
Could be there were three stories. There are three separate stories in the Gemara. I don't remember. Three separate stories in the Gemara where Hillel, he makes the calculation. Okay, there are so many little tidbits. They're golden nuggets. Golden nuggets all over Sefer Chasidim. Now he puts things together. You read very carefully. It seems to say there are three separate stories in Shas with Hillel Zaken, where he was instrumental in causing bringing three games to Klai Yisrael. Did Moshe Rabbeinu, was he Megayer anyone? Rabbi, so think about it. Erev Rav on their own wanted to be Megayer. Was it due to Moshe Rabbeinu as a person thing? Yisro was no different than the Erev Rav. Yisro watched Moshe Rabbeinu. Was the leader. Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought about miracles for Klal Yisrael. He seems to be saying that, I mean, I don't know if it's correct, if you can say such a thing, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, the gerim that we find associated with Moshe Rabbeinu were more indirect. It was not a direct result. Have Megayer Tzipora. Well, that's a wife. That's a wife. A wife is maybe is Ishtek Gufa, it's a little bit different. But what about a person? Look, you have over here the story of Vayar Ish Mitzri Make Ish Ivri Me'echov. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was a Chabad Shliach, what would he have done? Vayar Ish Mitzri Make Ish Ivri. So he would say to the goy, put on tefillin. You'll put on tefillin, you won't want to kill the guy. And what did Moshe do? You're not putting on tefillin. We're not putting on tefillin. A goy. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayarkiye Nish, and he killed him. Goodbye. Goodbye, that's the end. No tolerance. Okay, Dosan Va'aviram. Okay, there's different types of kiruv. There's kiruv kiroivim, and there's kiruv rechoikim, and kiruv kiroivim. You know, recently, who was nifter? By Israel Tauber was nifter. Yeah. Israel Tauber was a very choshev person. What? How old was he? Wasn't he an old man?
No.
He's 80 years old? Okay, Israel Tauber, I remember him as a child. I remember him, Amish, from way, way back. He was a big speaker. He used to talk. He was big in Shalom Bayis, Shalheves. And his thing, I read an article, his big thing was this Kiruv Rechoikim, Lubavitch, but there's also a need for Kiruv Kiroivim. Kiruv amongst people that are already religious, people that are Shaber Tar Mitzvahs, they also need Kiruv Kiroivim. Moshe Rabbeinu took a very hard stand. Look, you study Moshe Rabbeinu's Mahalich in Chumash. No nonsense. Moshe Rabbeinu was a no-nonsense person. You start with Koirach. He wasn't Makariv Koirach. He wasn't Makariv the 250 people. He wasn't Makariv them. You're starting up with me? The earth's going to swallow you up. The Mitzri is hitting a Jew. The Mitzri, you're going to kill you. There's a person in the Midbar that's Makalel. You're going to die. There's no tolerance. Moshe Rabbeinu took a very hard line in everything that he did. Hillel was very soft. Hillel, but we do find that Moshe Rabbeinu, there was the Erev Rav, and we find Chazal tell us that Hashem didn't want the Erev Rav. Hashem told Moshe, leave them behind in Egypt. They're just going to be a source of trouble for you and Klal Yisrael. Indeed, Chazal say they're the ones who made the Egel. All the trouble came from the Erev Rav, the Gerim. So Moshe tolerated them. But even though he tolerated them, doesn't necessarily mean that he was Makariv them. There's a difference between Makariv someone and tolerate a person. Hillel was very different. Hillel was a Makariv. It's a different personality, different types of people.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't ask him to come. He invited the Am to come. Paro sent them to make problem for the Jewish mission in the Midbar. And Hashem didn't, if Hashem told him not to take him, why Hashem?
That's a different topic. I don't know the answer. It's a whole different discussion. Who were those people? Who the Erev Rav? He b'shalach paros ha'om. Ha'om stam means Erev Rav. I hear what you're saying. I don't know the sugya. I don't know, but it's not our sugya. Now let's go for it. It's not our sugya. Over here we have over here Hillel, and it's an open. We're ignoring Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to go further. A person should not put in this, not be matul in his home more fear than necessary. Yachilu avod of dvar is. This is something the Gemara talks about. If a person is going to be matul mosh emi yisera, and this has been proven time and time again, a kiddushim in shul. How many tragedies have there been in Shabbos morning at a kiddush when a caterer comes to shul in the morning, and guess what? The plug from the warmer or has been pulled out and the food is not hot. How many times has this happened? Hundreds of times. And how many times, Rachmana Litzlan, you can't judge anyone because what would you do in that situation? Your reputation is on the line. No one's watching. Just put the plug back in or go to the store, to your shop. And bring other things into the shul in order that there should be food for the kiddush. You should not be embarrassed, and your reputation should not go down the drain. Because when people come, they say, "What happened to the food over here? How come there's no food by the kiddush?" Oh, the caterer messed up. Oh, good, you told me. I'm not going to be using him for my simcha next week or 2 weeks from now down the line. Why? Ema Yisera. There's too much, a society where there's too much fear. What's the ema? Money. Money, reputation. This is something that is so practical, where the mindset is such that you're more afraid of what other people are going to say than what you're afraid of Hashem. V'al yatil adam ema yisera b'sech b'esay pen yachilu avodav devar iser. When the servants realize that the master is not going to have what he wants, he likes to have his steak just like that, and it's not going to be perfect, so what are they going to do? They'll go to the store and buy him tray for meat in order to make sure that he gets what he wants, so he should not scream at us and fire us. Kasha lo yamachal misukon oikama in yonim miyira yelchu, they will go v'yidnu dvar isu v'ze lo yedan, the people will never know. People being served by a kiddush, they're being served food that was produced to aveirois chamurois chil Shabbos, and no one knows. Why? Because the environment of the shul is Ema Yisera. And that's a terrible tragedy. This should be Adarabba, it's a Hidur. I was reading this from Rav Steinman, very interesting. Rav Steinman, he lived, I have a whole chapter on this, that he lived in the most primitive conditions anyone you can possibly imagine. His apartment wasn't painted for over 50 years. And there were people over and over came into his apartment, they were appalled at those living conditions. And they said, we'll pay for everything, we'll fix it up. And he never wanted to do anything. Whatever his wife wanted to do something, he listened, but generally he didn't want. And he once told someone, what do you mean I live in the most beautiful home? He said, beautiful? You call this beautiful? This primitive condition, beautiful? So he said, everything in this home was purchased with kosher money. Everything that I have here, I can testify, the money I used to purchase, the table, the chair, the refrigerator, the light bulb, was kosher money. I didn't steal anything. I didn't get any bonuses that were not deserved. I paid my taxes. That's beautiful. If this table was paid with, that's a beautiful table. I should go to some fancy house and they have this exquisite kitchen. How did they were able to pay for that kitchen? It's because they fudged their hours on the, you know, they double all these techniques. Did they pay taxes? Did they look for every single kunz you can possibly find? Did they give Meiser 10% of the money to Tzedakah?
Overtime.
What?
Overtime.
Did they deliberately go and make sure they should have overtime so that they can get paid 150% for that time? We all know, everyone knows from their own work that there are things that you can get away with which are not ethical, but it's done. The ganze Welt does it. So what's the big deal? You go bill, you have to bill by the time. You're entitled to go bill the amount of time you go to the bathroom, the amount of time you go and you take a snack, you go for a cup of coffee. It's also what I need. It could be Moira Heter or a lot of things that are a lot more serious than that. I'm not going to give you some example. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Everyone in their business knows. Pay taxes, look for kunsim, look for this, look for that. Rav Steinman said, this is a beautiful home. Because I'm telling you, everything here was purchased with honest money. So here as well, he's writing over here, when there's Ema Yisera, then it's not, things are happening that are not legitimate, that are not correct. Further. Where am I over here? Meyira v'yelchu, the third line, v'zeh lo yedav, you have too much ema, then the servants are going to provide for you things which are not proper, and the balabayis, gezunta, does not even know. V'chol amatel ema yisrael b'soch b'esoy soy bol de sholosh averos gil arayos. Look what he writes over here. A person's mother is saying, the worst three averos. Gil arayos, chil shabbos, u'shvichas damim. Notice he does not say over here, Avodah Zarah. Instead of Avodah Zarah, he says Chilul Shabbos, which is very, very insightful, because Chazal say that a person who is a Shomer Shabbos is safe. You're done, you're a kosher Yid. Shlomo Kalbach was a Shomer Shabbos. I read the book recently, very good book by Shlomo Kalbach. after everything is said and done, he was a Shomer Shabbos. That's it. So what more do you want? You can't have, so no, so there are certain things in his life that were very, very tragic, very questionable, and many gedolim, many people distanced themselves b'shtei yodayim from him because of certain things that he did, the way he conducted himself. But one thing you can't deny, he was a Shomer Shabbos. L'chol hadeis. So that speaks volumes. Okay, that says quite a bit. No one can say more than that. Gilei Raya is Kel Shabbos or Shvichas Tomim. Tashmish Ishtoi Nida Miyirasa. A woman is afraid of what her husband will say if he tells that she's a Nida. So she makes believe she's not a Nida. Tavash Olay Tavshalom Shabbos. She'll go and she'll cook food for Shabbos because if he doesn't have what is hot cholent, he'll go berserk. He'll fly off the handle. Ayim Rago B'ner B'chadei Mishkava L'Halik Oysa Shem B'od Yom. And now the light is off. When he comes home from shul, the light is off. He'll go have a meltdown. So what will a person do? They'll turn on the light. They'll do kalachayad. Kalachayad. It's pikuach nefesh. Sometimes the taka is. It's not a joke. It's not even a joke. Okay. There's a certain thing that I was just involved with, and the incredible people. There's someone doing things that are totally off the wall, and his argument is it's bikuach nefesh. That's what he writes. Mamish bikuach nefesh, and part of the challenge, the response is, really, you're telling me that it's bikuach nefesh? Only a medical professional who is trained in pikuach nefesh and has examined the person and examined the matzav can make that decision, can make that make that determination. Who are you to go say it's pikuach nefesh? You say everything is pikuach nefesh? Sometimes it is. let's not make believe it's not. But sometimes it is. But this is serious stuff. V'shchacha Allah suma sham talim b'nei imasa b'shabes ay tivrach. Ishtoi shall run away. A person will run away because of fear. Then they'll fall. They'll get into a dangerous situation. Hare ze shefichas damim. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Very, very, very interesting stuff. Even though it's very simple, and you would think you don't need a book for this, but you read very carefully the way he writes, the way he puts it out in words. This tremendous chokhmah in writing over very simple concepts in the words that are chosen and the way it's expressed, it's very, very insightful. Okay, take a short break. We're going to continue in a few moments. Yitziv piskam. Everyone, before we continue, can take a siddur. Take out a siddur, and I want to go through today the text.